You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
The very handsome Jewish man, Peter Rosenberg.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Peter Rosenberg!
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to ENN.
Hey.
Ray Rowe.
It's brought to you by Security Dodge. Go see Michelle Scalesian.
Come get some!
Yeah! Yeah.
I cannot keep this thing up.
I'm going to need that.
You see this?
I'd like to hear it during the introductions. Can you turn around that quickly?
You see this?
Absolutely.
Oh, now it's there, but look, when I go too low.
How low can you
put those on radio, he's talking about a microphone.
Yeah.
Phil?
That was Peter.
Peter, and I was talking about a microphone. You filthy animal. Let's say Peter. Good evening.
You know what? You guys
Peter,
keep playing
sorry,
this game. Wait.
Sorry.
And I'm going to be the one guy destroyed every single week during the baseball season. You watch.
I want to apologize. Phil, it was me who called you a filthy animal. I apologize.
Yeah, but you see, there's apparently Michael has some sort of a hold on us. Like, it becomes his responsibility as if, like,
he controls
his name's on the show. We're Charlie McCarthy's. We're dummies.
That's unfortunate because I said it. I said it right there.
But he didn't stop you. He didn't physically get up and choke you out and say, "This is my show. How dare you speak about Phil that way?"
Good evening, Michael.
It was a normal sack.
Clean day. Good evening to Don.
Helsinki syndrome.
Good evening to Don.
Find a drop!
The band was...
Find it!
And they never did.
Good evening.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, he did find it.
Yep, as soon as you asked for it.
It found it as soon as...
Here it is.
By this time, the hostages should be going through the early stages of the Helsinki syndrome.
As in Helsinki, Sweden.
Finland.
That's not just some random thing
from Die Hard. I love the movie, and I don't remember the part. I really don't.
But that's on you, man.
I don't know if it is.
But I was mocked. And then a little, me.
But
you hear what I said?
Hold on.
Like, the big dummy? Do you hear what the big dummy said?
Who was
the big dummy?
Michael. If it's not...
Sanford's son.
To the point
Lamont.
Michael made earlier.
Lamont was the big
dummy.
If
it's not to... If it's a quote that doesn't resonate with enough people,
then
it ends up being
the
fan.
You lost the audience.
Well, now, you may be other people out there went, ah-ha, da-ha. See, that one they know. If you go, ah-ha, everyone knows.
Michael doesn't know.
No, I know. Coming to America.
Yeah.
You know, Die Hard is on that level.
I'm sorry. But maybe not that line.
Well, it is now.
Let's say good evening to myself.
Step on the guy's throat.
To myself.
8 inches bigger than that?
And to myself. I cannot keep this thing up.
Poor Nat.
I cannot keep this thing up.
Oh, my God.
I know Peter makes an extra effort.
You know, I've had a lot of problems in my life. That's not one.
Really?
No. Huh. No, I'm not. I'm young.
You know what I'm hearing.
Who have you talked
right.
to?
99 problems, ED ain't one.
Wow.
I love it. I cannot keep this thing up. Let's everyone, it's time.
Fun.
It's everyone's
radio
favorite time.
Fun.
Does everyone get their blanket?
No, come on.
And everyone sits down.
Oh. Struggle with the night-night.
And we all go to sleep, and we listen to some Sleepy Tom Bobo, Coach Thibodeau, on the win-loss.
We wonder why the Knicks don't give us guests.
I didn't think we played particularly well, but I loved how we responded in the fourth quarter. And I thought that said a lot about who we are. I think the bench was, they were hustling, flying all over the place. That closed the gap and gave us the hope that, okay, we can get this done. And then when the starters came back, they fed off that energy. Finding a way to win when you're not playing at your best is huge, and that's the bottom line, is just find ways to win, and I think our team is doing that.
Isaac, that's a lot of energy for him, believe it or not.
I gotta tell you, that actually was very high energy, Sleepy Tom Bobos.
My goal is, while I'm doing the show from Tampa, if we have a long enough Sleepy Tom Bobo clip tomorrow,
you actually do
Friday,
fall asleep?
No, I want to get in the bed so on camera you see me get tucked in. I'm going to go full tuck in the bed during the clip.
Can I join?
Sure. Well, she won't be there, unfortunately.
Oh, no?
No.
It's a solo trip?
Well, it's not solo. I got some wrestling nerd friends who are coming. Dipperstein's coming. My boy Zach is coming.
You know, why don't you have...
I'll know tons of people.
We're going to... a cheer competition with Callie in Rhode Island. She can come with us if she'd like. Take the dogs. We'll have a great
cheer
time.
Cheer competition?
Yeah.
She's that serious with the cheering?
She won first prize like 2 weeks ago.
You know what's funny?
At Foxwoods.
No. Fillmore Junior High.
It's not that. It's not cheerleading. It's almost, it's very athletic.
He wasn't mocking.
Six of firecrackers, sis, boom, bop.
No, he was mocking.
Bugs Bunny, rah, rah, rah. Well, what did you think?
Wait, no, it is cheering, though. It is this. You're still hands
no,
up.
No, it's not pom-poms and stuff like that. But you're doing a lot of flips and stuff like that.
Are they going to make a pyramid?
Those cheerleaders are there, too.
Yeah, that stuff.
But those cheerleaders, they're still part of the cheer squad.
But they're not cheering for athletes. They're athletes. They are athletes.
Right. It's like the movie Bring It On.
Who are they cheering for? You're cheering.
They're just cheering in a competition, and they're judged.
It's funny that Callie does this?
Yeah,
that's awesome. It. Can I tell you, it's from what I know of her young personality, and tell me if I'm way off here, it's sort of surprising that she's into that. Callie doesn't suffer fools. I could see her being like,
that's why I don't think she would be a cheerleader. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
But it wouldn't be for her.
This is competition.
Right.
So she's being judged. She likes to finish first in things.
Wow, I wonder where she gets that from. So it is like the movie Bring It On.
I've been depressed the last couple of years.
Believe me, I know. It's a pain in the... You know what? Let's hear from Julius Randle. What was it like at the Barclays Center last night, Uncle Julius?
It was lit. It was lit, especially when we came back. You know, crowd really got into it. You know, it was good to hear the New York Knicks chants at Barclays. That's always fun.
That could have been Sleepy Time Julius.
Yeah, Sleepy Time Julius.
Let's give it a try.
No, please.
I have another one here. Get the music ready. Let's see if this works. Here's Sleepy Time Julius. On the blocks and the big dunk that followed.
That's our team. You know, me and Jay, we get a lot of shine because we score the points and stuff like that. But those are the plays that win us games. You know, those are the plays that maybe go unnoticed, but they're winning plays and they help us win games. So credit to those guys for battling the way that they did.
Who you discussed it with, Julius or Peter?
I think Peter.
All right, Jalen Brunson.
Julius just
up.
Played 48 minutes of high intensity athletic endeavor. Right. Peter's putting our listeners to sleep.
Jalen Brunson said the Knicks took over the Barclays Center last night.
Yeah, it's very important. I mean, Knicks fans are amazing. They're always at every game cheering as loud as anyone. It's always awesome to hear them.
And speaking of which, and Michael, you questioned this guy's interview skills. Here's OG Anunoby talking about the Knicks fans at Barclays Center.
We have great fans. They travel. I mean, this isn't really traveling, but D.C., they were there. I know I heard in Miami they're there, too. So they travel. We have great fans.
Thank you. Thank you, OG.
What are you playing this cut for? Don hates cuts anyway, and what are you doing?
I know one thing he'll like. He'll like to hear the call, though, from that big wild sequence that led to the jam last night.
Ah, that was a great sequence.
And now Dennis Smith Jr. runs the other way, 2-on-1, all the way down the lane, puts up a wild shot, no good. Scramble for the ball, Cam Johnson's shot is blocked, and it stays in bounds. The Knicks have it. Randle up ahead for Brunson, back for Randle, who slots it home!
Fordham, John Janone.
I like John.
John's one of the greats.
He really is.
And he never gets to show it on, you know, the Ranger pregame. He's one of the funniest people who ever lived.
Oh, I know. He's hilarious.
After the game, Mikal Bridges was asked about the Knick fan presence at Barclays Center.
You're reasonably new to this rivalry, but I mean, when you hear a crowd like that, it's your building, and you have to hear "Let's go Knicks" and all of that. How would you describe that? Is that frustrating? Is it galling? I don't want to put words. How would you describe that?
I mean, I feel like any person in here is not fun, and you feel like you're at a away game at home. So that's for probably any person sitting in here, any person alive. So
rivalry strong.
Yeah, that word is not quite appropriate.
Well, people are trying to make it a rivalry.
That's you want it to be, but it's not.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured.
It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
So guys, we haven't mentioned this much. I don't even know if we should, but are we going to figure out what's happening with the story of the Chiefs fans who were found dead outside of a home, frozen to death?
Unbelievable. And the guy who hosted the party, right? There were five guys.
Okay.
Three guys were found dead outside.
Right. And now the family of one of the dead guys says that he believes they were dragged outside and drugged and dragged.
And the guy who hosted, their buddy, slept for 2 days on the couch, didn't know that his friends were lying dead outside.
So just to be clear here, if a guy slept for 2 days,
right,
and three people were found dead in the snow,
they probably froze to death. Whatever, if there was drugs.
Well, that means this wasn't a football watching party. This was just some sort of crazy the
football.
Drug
just
party.
Happened to be on.
No, it was a big football. It was for the final game of the regular season.
But you don't associate, isn't it weird, Donald? You don't associate football parties, especially like in Kansas City, with like a crazed drug fueled fiasco, a bacchanal that leaves people dead in the snow afterwards.
Unbelievable.
So it would have to be
for a Chief Charger game at the end of the season.
That really meant nothing.
Oh, this wasn't for the playoff game.
No, this was the last regular season game.
So it would make sense though, right? Everybody gets drugged up. You're high as a kite.
Well, you better be careful what you're saying. No, we don't know if that's happened.
Of course we don't.
Right.
I'm just trying to figure out what could have happened.
Okay.
Speculating.
Right.
Would it make sense that you were so high that you basically were completely knocked out, you fall asleep outside, you never wake up, you just immediately freeze to death? If you're completely zonked.
Yeah, they were in the... I think it wasn't like it was like 15 below. It was 30 earlier in the day, I read. And then by nighttime, it got to be 15. I guess you could die.
So is it possible you have a party at your house?
Go ahead. Michael, this would make for a good wood jet sometime soon.
No, a couple of your friends are intoxicated or high or whatever. And they say, all right, see ya. And they leave. And as they leave, they pass out in your backyard.
Three of them?
And then just, is it possible that you wouldn't know? You didn't glance out the window? I mean, I guess it's possible.
Especially if you were out for two... I'm one of the sleep. I'm one of the great sleeps of all time. No,
even to this day, Mike will have days where he'll be really tired. He'll say he went to bed at midnight and he woke up at 2 p.m.
Right.
Or he takes the kids to school, comes home and sleeps for another 6 hours. We've seen it.
Like today,
see?
Went to bed at 11 last night.
All right.
Right. Woke up at 7, drove the kids to school because I had student council.
All right.
Got back at 7, at quarter to 8. Went back to bed, made myself wake up at 11. Could have slept all day.
Hmm. Strong.
Yeah.
Very impressive.
Could have slept all day.
So imagine sleeping 2 days then.
2 days. I mean, that's. I never sleep straight through. I got peas in there, the whole deal. Yeah. I mean, I'm not out like cold for the whole time I'm in bed.
Have you ever had a sleep situation, either one of you, where for whatever reason, maybe it was, you know, drug fueled alcohol or simply fatigue or simply just incredible fatigue? Okay, here's one. Well, Don and I would know this. I don't know if you would. Or like working overnights where you end up falling asleep and when you wake up, you are completely lost at when you're woken up and it takes you legitimately a while to figure out what time of day it is.
Oh, yeah. When I was working mornings, I was going to go to a hockey game with the Stark brothers, my friend Tom. And they were picking me up.
Anything could happen on these nights, Michael.
They were picking me up at 5:30 to go to the Meadowlands.
For a 7 o'clock game.
So I'm going to take a nap.
Snooze.
Because I got to get up at like 3:15 in the morning, 3:45 in the morning. I wake up. I look at the clock. It says 5:30.
Perfect.
I'm like, oh, my God, I've overslept. I'm in the shower when it occurs to me it's 5:30 at night and I haven't been picked up for the hockey game yet. Like, I confused. So that does happen.
But it wasn't reverse where you realize, oh, my God, I'm waiting for them to pick me up for the hockey game. Oh, no, it's 5:30 in the morning.
No, my dad told me a story. It's kind of a funny one that he said when he was younger but in legally drinking, he once had a little too much on a Friday night and he got home, went to bed, woke up and he smells my grandmother's meatballs. He's like, meatballs? She's making spaghetti meatballs? She only does that on Sunday. It was Sunday morning. He went to bed Friday night, woke up Sunday morning.
Well, he had a lot to drink.
That's a beautiful sleep.
But that's good sleep.
Ballard had a situation once where I know he went to a Fish concert.
Got home. It was very late. Went to bed. Yeah, and it was one of the. He woke up the next morning thinking it was the next morning, and it was already time for the concert the next night, round two.
Yeah.
And he made it. That's right. Oh, yeah, he didn't miss the show. Probably met up with his shoes and had himself a time. Now, speaking of other wacky stories, somewhat adjacently related to football, did you guys see that Taylor Swift's alleged stalker was arrested again minutes after... Okay, talk about your commitment to an obsession. Minutes after being released without bail, he was then arrested again for dumpster diving outside of her house.
Because these people aren't right. It's not like they're normal people. They've been told to stay away because the normal person's told to stay away. They stay away. The people have a screw loose.
I mean, imagine. They let you
but
go.
But there has to be a law that, I mean, he's going to keep coming back.
That is really uncomfortable.
Of course.
That's not fair. Why does everybody know where Taylor Swift lives, too?
Everybody knows where everybody lives. You can find wherever anybody you want where they live.
Scary.
The exact address. And then you can get a Google Earth shot of the house. It's scary.
Like, even right now, if we wanted to know where...
If you go into Google and go, tell me where Peter Rosenberg lives.
Well, no.
Get the exact address.
Let's not even talk about that. I'm talking about, like, you know, Kanye West or...
Yeah, you could find out.
Kylie Jenner. You could find out their address
out
in 5 minutes.
Anything. Less than five.
Less than five?
Yeah.
But can you imagine, Don, the guy's getting out of jail and the people must say, like, hey, do you need a ride to go somewhere?
Yeah, absolutely.
Just take me straight back to Taylor's house.
Right.
Well, excuse me, sir. That's not what you want. All right, speaking of Taylor Swift, and hopefully this guy gets the help that he needs and stays far away from Taylor Swift. Here's Patrick Mahomes, Taylor's new good friend, talking about Lamar Jackson, his competition this weekend.
It's challenging. The way he's able to just be a competitor and score the football, obviously, and then their entire team. It's a tall task. You got to go out there and play your best football. And if you make any mistakes, it seems like the game's going to go the other way. So we've been able to play in a couple games, not in a few years now. But I've admired watching him from afar and know that it's going to be a great challenge for us every time we go up against him.
We found something worse than score the basketball.
That is worse.
Score the football.
Come on. Stop. Could you stop, Peter?
I would like a player to say, you know, I like the fact that we score and somebody in the crowd. Excuse me, Patrick, are you talking about scoring the football? Like, would that ever happen? Why does he have to be so specific about scoring the football?
I'll take it a step further. If one day I'm lucky enough to have a child and that child loves sports and says, Daddy, Daddy, guess what? I scored the football.
You put him in an orphanage.
I'd say, oh, no. That's not, you don't say that. That's wrong. You just say, I scored a touchdown. You don't say, I scored the football. It doesn't make sense. That's not even football language. Thanks. And I'd end it with a thanks, to be polite. Seriously, it's not even right. Scored the football?
You have the potential just to be an awful dad. I'm just saying that.
Wait, no, well, can you? That's on the level of predicting that I'm going to die in 2029.
I said he has the potential. I said he is.
He says the worst thing.
And doesn't realize it.
I realize it.
He says.
I just want him to correct himself before he has the kid. Imagine telling your kid something heavy like that and go, and thanks. The thanks makes you a terrible dad.
That's the polite part. I appreciate you. Thanks for listening. Glad we had this chat. As for Lamar,
I'm going to spin some tunes now.
Let's send out
some tweets.
Let's hear from Lamar on how he feels about facing Patrick Mahomes.
I don't like competing against him at all. He's a great quarterback. Definitely a Hall of Famer. It's a no-brainer. He's definitely a Hall of Famer. I believe it's just two greats, up-and-coming greats, just going toe-to-toe. You know, like a heavyweight fight, heavyweight matchup. That's just what I see.
Now, this past weekend, there was a lot of talk about Jason Kelce's performance in the crowd. And he supposedly drank like 40 beers, was out there partying. Here's him talking about how his wife wasn't so crazy about the whole thing, I don't think.
I don't think she was happy about it, to be honest with you.
There was one picture, and it was her kind of smiling and laughing at it and kind of for it.
Like, you know, there's Jason. I'm not going to lie. I gave Kylie a heads up. The moment we got into the suite, I said, I'm taking my shirt off, and I'm jumping out of that suite. And she said, Jason? Right. She said, Jason, don't you dare. And
see, I'm thinking.
Just letting you know what's
I'm
happening.
Thinking it's like that.
I'm not asking for permission. I'm doing this.
Once a Kelce man's determined, there's no stopping him.
And she was already telling me to be on my best behavior because we were meeting Taylor. So she's like, do not be
hilarious.
On your best behavior. I was like, Kylie, when I met you, the first day I met you, I was blacked out drunk and fell asleep at the bar. This is part of the charm. This is part of the Jason Kelce char.
Oh, man. Well, Tay says she absolutely loved you.
That'll do it for ENN. Brought to you by Security Dodge. Shop 24/7 at securitydodge.com. During their Starting Something New sales event.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.